So you at least had experience in investigating through your genealogy background and your background as a historian. What was it, though, that kind of perked you up when you started investigating De Mornshield? I mean, because most people, it would have just gone right over their head.
Well, I went through the 26 volumes of the Warren Commission report, and
okay.
I came across George and John Ligon De Mornshield.
Did his name keep coming up?
Well, no, there was 240 pages of testimony.
All right.
And then one thing led to one discovery left, came over another and another. It was like discovering gold. And I said, geez, this is a good nugget. And then I contacted Leon Panetta in 1992, and he supported my research up until he became chief of staff of Bill Clinton.
All right. Well, tell us then, who is this person? Who was this person? Because, as you said, he committed suicide.
Well, George De Mornshield was a Lee Harvey Oswald. He's actually a CIA agent, oil geologist. And he became Lee Harvey Oswald's best friend prior to the assassination. And Oswald looked up to him.
All right.
And
Now, wait a minute. You had said earlier that he dated Jacqueline Onassis's mother?
Right, and, Janet Leigh Bouvier.
Okay, and he ends up being Lee Harvey Oswald's best friend?
That's right. That's what got me going. When you said that's what, I had like a nightmare, and then I found out that Jackie purchased the pink Chanel suit from De Mornshield's aunt by marriage in New York City.
The suit she wore on the day of the assassination?
Yeah, at the clothing store Che Neon, which was owned by Nona McAdoo. Nona McAdoo was the aunt by marriage to George De Mornshield. And Jackie purchased this Chanel suit. And then I found out that De Mornshield was friends with Jackie's dress designer, Oleg, and his brother, Igor Cassini.
This guy was everywhere.
He is. He knows all the top oilmen, Texas oilmen, H.L. Hunt, Clint Murchison, Herman and George Brown, Lyndon Johnson's best friends. He's writing, it just goes on and on.
And this guy was in the CIA at the time?
Yeah, I found out, I won a case when Bill Clinton was in there, they gave me a Freedom of Information Act that I served in 1994 on De Mornshield's father-in-law, who was in charge of 250 CIA agents from 1950 to 53.
All right, now, what makes you believe that De Mornshield was somehow tied into the assassination in some form or fashion?
Well, he said that Oswald was not guilty of the assassination, and before he put a shotgun in his mouth and pulled the trigger in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Did he ever have a suicide note or anything like that?
No, he was giving interviews to authors or newspaper writers, and like a guy named William Altman, who just passed away.
Now, how do we know De Mornshield committed suicide and he wasn't killed?
Well, I have the actual audio tape in, on my video, which I produced, which was shown today in Manhattan.
Audio tape of what?
Of De Mornshield's suicide.
You mean he put a tape recorder?
No. His first wife's sister, who he was staying in their home, set the tape recorder to record the soap operas. Yet they leave a shotgun and bullets out for him, and he made his...
So you could hear in the background the shotgun?
Gunshot, and I have it on the actual video. And then you hear his daughter discovering it 20 minutes later.
Oh, my God.
And you hear her screaming. That was the chilling thing. Alexandria De Mornshield had an affair in 64.
Is there any way, Bruce, that when we go to the break in about 10 minutes, that you can get a portion of that ready and maybe hold the phone by your by the tape so we can
hear part of it? I played it on Dr. Stan. Sometime in the future, I could have it all queued up.
You can't get it ready in about 10 minutes?
No, I'm here with candlelight, and I'm just kind of focused in on what we're doing.
Candlelight.
Yeah. But, pun intended.
Well, now let's go back a little bit, I want to piece this together, because you put together a timeline here on this assassination. So De Mornshield is in the CIA. He gets to know Oswald. He's dating Jackie Kennedy's mother.
That's in 1938.
Prior to.
Yeah.
But he's got this relationship with all these people.
Right.
What do you think his role was in the assassination?
Well, I think he set Oswald up to take the blame, and whatever he told Oswald to do,
Oswald would do.
Yeah, and I believe that Oswald was CIA. I believe that Dr. Philip Mullinson, his book Spy Saga, is definitive on that. And it's a short book, and I believe that Oswald, what helps clear Oswald, in my opinion, and this gentleman was calling earlier with Mr. Fetzer.
Yes.
And is that Oswald doesn't have any gunpowder nitrates on his face. He does have gunpowder on his hands. So if he was really trying to kill Kennedy, he would have been looking down the scope of the rifle, and Mr. Fetzer would have been the one to answer it. He would have been able to answer this. How could somebody shoot a rifle and have gunpowder on their hands and not on their face?
On their face. You'd have it all over your chin and everything
right,
else. Right,
right. And he didn't have time to wash his hands and so forth. And that, I think, is important. And Oswald saying that he was set up for a patsy.
Now, you also, in your timeline, you also mentioned, though, in your research, that De Mornshield also knew or somehow was tied into Abraham Zapruder, the
right.
person who took the film. What was that relationship?
Well, De Mornshield's wife, his fourth wife, Jean Lagan, worked with Abe Zapruder at a clothing store in Dallas.
Now, what are the odds of all this happening, Bruce?
Well, and what are the odds of you taking a picture of somebody being assassinated and not reacting for your own safety?
That's a good point.
And they both belong.
It's not like he was a professional photographer, and that was his job. You know?
And that was a good point that Mr. Fetzer made, that that he had vertigo.
Yeah.
When you're hearing, he says he hears the bullets whistling by his head, but what? You're not going to drop the camera and react like everybody else is in the line of your camera?
Yeah.
Well, both De Mornshield and Jean Lagan De Mornshield worked at this clothing company. They're both white Russians. And they worked with the mother of Lyndon Johnson's personal secretary, Olga Femer. And Marie Femer, still alive today in Washington, became one of the first woman senior officers at the CIA.
This thing's like a soap opera.
Oh, it's great once you get it down.
I mean, let me tell you something. The fact that you are such an expert in facts and genealogy tells me a lot, because you're a facts and numbers guy. I mean,
yeah, I'm not theory. I'm just go with the facts, and I don't. I have cousins that are friends of George and Barbara Bush that sponsored one of my books, The Life and Times of George W. Ely.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, I found the most incriminating evidence against George Bush Sr.